gospel, the good news of my kingdom, shows up in two ways. It is seen, demonstrated by my spirit, and it is heard, preached, and taught under the anointing. Prepare your hearts and prepare your minds, and receive the anointing that is mine. My power, my glory, my goodness is yours. So receive it now, for I have opened unto you the door. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Everybody tuned in to his frequency? You know, when CBs were popular, you know, they'd always say, "You got your ears on, good buddy." Right? Do we have our ears on tonight? Because, you know, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will take a message that's taught or preached and he'll say something different than what's being said here. It directly applies to you as an individual. So as you tune into God's frequency tonight, just, you know, be open for the Lord to lead you to give like you've never given before. Amen? What do I mean by that? Well, the Lord may tell you to give something that you never thought of giving. And he will take your gift. The reason he tells you that is because he wants to bless you. So if the Lord leads you to give in a certain way tonight, I just want to encourage you to obey and do that and just watch God work. And you know, when you give in faith. Don't give out of obligation or duty. Give because you love Jesus. And give knowing that he will give back unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you want to have a giving competition with God, you'll lose. Because we could never outgive God. Amen? So amen. If the Lord put something on your heart, men, this Saturday, we're going to have our first Barnabas meeting at 8:30 a.m., so I encourage you, if you can come out, join us, and we're going to have a great time as we kick off 2015. Glory to God. Well, since we haven't been able to meet regularly on Wednesdays, I want to touch base on what we first talked about, then we're going to move forward, okay? But I'm going to do it quickly, all right? Can you listen quickly? All right, so we're talking about tuning into God's frequency. You know, and every radio station is assigned a frequency on the dial. All right, if you listen to WJTL, you got to tune in to 90.3. If you're on 90.9, you won't get what's on WJTL. All right, you got to be tuned in to 90.3 on the FM dial. All right, because that is the frequency that's been assigned to that station. And if you want to get the information on that station, you got to be tuned into the right frequency. All right, so here are some things that will help you tune in to God's frequency. Number one, tuning into God's frequency requires frequent appearances in his presence and before his throne. All right, go with me to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. And it says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." See, what I'm saying is when you tune into his frequency, you're getting access to God. All right? You're getting access to his information, to his riches, to his goodness. Okay? "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So where is your grace and mercy that you need? It's before the throne, right? And if you want to obtain mercy and find grace, where do you have to go? You have to go before the throne. And you can do it right here, right? Because how do you get there? You get there by faith. It's not like you get into a physical thing that takes you there. It's not a, you know, but you do it by faith, okay? And so If you want to tune into God's frequency, you got to make frequent appearances before his throne. You should be comfortable coming into God's presence. You know, he has an open door policy. He'll never turn you away. All those who call upon me shall be what? Saved, right? So anybody who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. He won't turn you away. He said, if you knock, the door will be opened. You know, but some people say, well, God's not opening his door. Well, have you knocked? Number two, tuning into God's frequency requires studying his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study. Did the Bible say study? Yeah, it did. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Did you know that God speaks to us through his word? That is the primary way that God speaks to us. If you want a word from God, open this book. There's lots of them. And it's right on. You know, this is more accurate than today's newspaper. But Proverbs 4:20 to 22, it says, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. Notice, when you tune into God's word, you're going to get life and you're going to get health for all your flesh. Yeah. You know, there were lots of people in Jesus' day that were sick. And a lot of their situations changed when they heard Jesus. What did they hear about Jesus? They heard how he healed other people. And because they heard how he healed other people, they say, well, if he healed other people, he'll heal me too. And they made their way to Jesus. They tuned into his frequency, and guess what? Once they tuned in, they got the healing channel. And when they tuned into the healing channel, what'd they get in their bodies? They got healed, right? I'll give you some of those examples maybe a little bit later. Okay? Number three, tuning into God's frequency requires a knowledge and sensitivity to his spirit's voice and leading. How many know that you have to be sensitive to the spirit's voice? He does not speak to you externally unless you hear God's audible voice. How many here has ever heard God's audible voice? I never have, all right? One, that's great. You know, God does speak to people audibly. I mean, when the Apostle Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, Jesus interrupted his journey, and the Bible says a light shone around him, and he heard a voice from heaven. And people, they saw the light and they heard the voice, but they didn't know what was happening. So he can do that. But you got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How do you become sensitive? Spend time with him. You want to get to know his voice? Spend time with him. Read the book that he wrote. Did you know the Holy Spirit's the author? Holy men of God were moved by the Spirit of God. And they wrote what God wanted them to write. But we have to become sensitive to his voice. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He searches the deep things of God. He tells us what belongs to us. He brings us into all truth. He was there when it started. He'll be there when it ends. He knows everything. And you know what? The Holy Spirit's been assigned as your helper. God couldn't get any closer to you than he is right now. He's in you. I mean, the clothes that you're wearing, you're pretty close to them. But something is even closer is what's inside of you, inside your spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. He lives in you, the hidden man of the heart, the real you. Not the flesh and blood, but the you that's in the flesh and blood. The flesh and blood is just the house that you live in. Okay? But if you want to tune into God's frequency, you got to become sensitive. You have to have an intimate knowledge of how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. How he speaks to me is going to be different than how he speaks to you. Why? We're different. The Holy Spirit knows exactly how to reach you. He knows what works for you. He knows what works for me. But we got to listen to his voice. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. He said, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. How many know Jesus was sensitive to the Holy Spirit? You know? He did things. He went places because the Holy Spirit was leading, guiding, and directing him. And if you want to get into all truth, you're going to have to listen to his voice. And that's going to require you to tuning in. Okay? Number four, tuning into God's frequency requires a prepared heart and a prayerful disposition. In Malachi 3:1, it says, "Behold, I send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple." The messenger, or the angel of the covenant, whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. You got to prepare your heart. In order for you to tune into God's frequency, it may from time to time require you to remove yourself from distractions. Anybody here get distracted? I mean, this world is full of distractions. You know that you should pray, right? You say, oh, I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray. And then your stomach says, I'm hungry, feed me. That's a distraction, right? Or you know that you're on your way to pray and the telephone rings. Could be a distraction. How did Jesus hear from the Father? He would pray all night long. He would go away from his disciples. He'd get someplace alone where him and God could have a conversation. How many know, you know, it's hard to hear a voice when you got 10 voices going at the same time. So there are, in order for you to tune into God's voice, you got to get into a place, sometimes you got to quiet your mind. You know, people say, well, I lay down, I just got all these thoughts. Well, it's your mind. It's like turning a faucet on and off, right? If you go up to the sink and the faucet's off, you turn it on. And when you're done, you turn it off, right? Isn't it amazing? When you turn it on, the water comes out, but when you turn it off, it stops. We need to do that with our minds. Maybe we need to turn off some things in our minds so that we can focus on the Holy Spirit. We got to prepare our hearts. Preparation time is never lost time. Do farmers plant a field without preparing the field? I mean, if a farmer never plowed the ground, the seed wouldn't get in it. It may in some spots, but for the most part, they'd lose that seed, wouldn't they? So when God wants to do something in our lives, it's going to require preparation. You got to prepare your heart. You got to get your heart ready to seek God. It's going to take preparation time. All right? Now, there are three access points. Okay? Number one is found in Romans chapter 5. Their access points, or there are stations that we need to tune into. Okay? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is the first access point. Therefore, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see how faith brought us to God? We were justified by faith and we have peace with God. Do you know what? When you have peace with God, you can enter his presence anytime, anywhere, any place. Because you have peace with God. Okay? By whom also, notice this phrase, we have access. By faith into this grace wherein we stand. Did you know that when you tune into God's frequency, you get access to his grace? What does grace do for you? Grace is an empowerment. For by faith are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith, right? It's an empowerment, okay? Grace gives you power to serve, it gives you power to stand, and it gives you power to do what you don't have the ability to do. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It was the grace that gave Paul the ability to be an apostle. And by faith, we have access into this grace. Okay? This is access point number one. You have access into God's grace. Say this with me. Say, God's grace is accessible to me. Can you come before God's throne? Well, his throne is called the throne of grace. What are you going to get when you come before his throne? You're going to get grace and you're going to get mercy, right? Okay? And there are things that we are physically not able to do. But by God's grace is the thing that enables us to do what we can't do. Okay? And notice, once you get access to the grace, you got to stand in it. You got to be strong in the grace of God. You got to hold on to the grace of God. Okay? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because I got access to grace, with grace comes glory. Whoo! And you get access into the glory. You know, when Moses, every time he went into the tabernacle, what came down? The glory of God in the appearance of a flame, or a cloud. That glory would descend on the tabernacle. Moses had access into the tabernacle by grace. He could go and talk with God like a man talks to his friend. He had access to God, and that glory would come down, and that glory would just, you know, when Moses was confronted with Korah rebelled. It was the glory of God that distinguished Moses between Korah. So when you get grace, when you have access to the grace, you have access to the glory. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many has ever had tribulations? Guess what? You're going to have tribulations. If you're not in one now, you will have one. And guess what? Grace is able to handle any tribulation that you find yourself in. Okay, notice, having access to grace, we're going to have tribulation, but we're going to have grace in the tribulation. When you have, and I'm not talking about the end tribulation, I'm talking about trouble. Okay? Guess what? We don't plan for trouble. Trouble just shows up. Things happen in life. But we have an advantage because we have access to grace. By faith, it's the grace that will get us through the trouble. All right? Tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's the... By tuning into God's frequency, we have access to his grace. Joshua, I want you to march around Jericho and then shout, and the walls are going to fall down. That's grace. Joshua had no physical means to make those walls fall down. But all Joshua did was obey what God said. When he obeyed what God said, it was God's grace that came in and made the walls fall down. Okay, Joshua, I want you to cross the Jordan River, but it's at flood stage. How are you going to walk across a river at flood stage? You know, I fell into a river in New Zealand, and it took everything that I had just to swim to shore because it was a strong current. Well, grace says cross, God says cross the river. Grace occurs when you put your foot in the water and the water separates and you walk across on dry land. That's grace. We have access into grace. There's no way that we could save ourselves. There's nothing that we could do to save ourselves. But we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and God gives us his grace, and we become saved. We become the children of God. We're transformed. We get a new nature. That's grace. Amen. Grace is God's goodness. It's God's riches. It's God's strength. It's God's power. And when we tune into the frequency of God, we get access into his grace. When you need it, grace is there. You have access to it. You can go to God's cupboard. You can open the cupboard and you can get grace. You know, think of grace like spinach. When Popeye needed help, he'd open a can of spinach and that spinach would give him strength to beat up Bluto. God's grace is our spinach. I had to throw that in. I'm sorry. So the access that we have to God, it happens by faith. By faith, you can access anything that God has. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is you believe God is, and you believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many believe that God is a rewarder? God's got rewards for you. Well, how are you going to get them? You got to come and get them. How do you come and get them? Because you have a backstage pass into God's presence. You've been granted Holy Spirit security clearance. Because each one of you are an agent of the Holy Spirit, and you can come into God's presence because Jesus lives in you. Your access card is J-E-S-U-S. That's the password. It gives you access into all of God's stuff. But you got to tune into his frequency. When you tune into his frequency, you get access. If you want to watch the news, turn on a channel that has the news. If you want to watch the news, don't go to QVC. If you tune into QVC, you're not going to hear the news. You're going to be tempted to buy stuff. You got to tune into the channel that has the information that you need. What you believe about God either gives you access or denies access to him. What you believe about God. What do I mean? When Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell his stuff, give it to the poor, and follow him, did he have access to God? He did, but he denied his own access. How did he do that? He didn't respond to what God said. God said, here's what I want you to do. Sell your stuff, give it to the poor, and follow me. Jesus was offering that man discipleship. Who knows what that man could have done had he followed Jesus? He was given access, but he denied his own access. Because he didn't do what Jesus said. You know, when you don't do what Jesus says, you lose your access to what God wanted you to have. Because access comes by faith. What you believe about God will either give you access or deny access to him. So by faith, you can actually draw near to God. The peace of God causes us to approach God boldly. How many has ever been in an atmosphere where you could feel the tension? But with God, you don't have that because he gives you his peace. And it's a totally... Peace is a welcoming atmosphere. Tension is a repelling atmosphere. Right? So we have access into this grace. Did you know that Christ is the door by where we enter into God's presence? He even said in John 10, I'm the door. He's a door without a key. The key is simply his name. Jesus. It gives you access. In the name of Jesus, you have access to his power right there. When God gives us his grace, go to John 1:16 for a minute. This is from the Amplified. John 1:16 says, for out of his fullness or abundance, we have all received, all had a share, we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift upon gift. Woo! Say this with me. Say, the grace of God is so good. Hallelujah. The grace of God is good. Okay? So, we can come into God's presence boldly because of his blood. Because of the blood that Christ shed on Calvary. We can come. All right? The second access point. We had access into God's grace, right? And that's by faith. And the second access point is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Go over to Ephesians, chapter 2. You know, I found it interesting that I found three access points and there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Your three best friends in the whole wide world are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 12, and we'll read to verse 22. This is before we could tune into God's frequency, is verse 12. It says that, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. We were all there. It's talking about our life BC, before Christ. All right? Every one of us had a life BC. There was a point in time when we were without Christ, okay? And we had no access to the things of God. We had no access. We didn't know how to tune into the frequency. But look at verse 13. But now, I love it when God butts in. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off, you're made near by the blood of Christ. So the blood of Christ is the thing that happened in our life. When we put our faith in the blood of Christ, we were given access that we did not have before. We were given access into his presence. Whoo, that's powerful. Okay? But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace. Remember Romans 5, we got access to the peace of God, right? Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. He took the old man and he did away with the old man and he made a new man. You're a new creature with a new feature. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, and that also can refer to Jew and Gentile. All right? Jews were born into the family, Gentiles were adopted into the family, but we both belong to the same family. We both have access to the same family. Okay? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you who are far off and to them that were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Woo! We got access into Daddy's office. And it's greater than the Oval Office. It's the throne of the living God. And we have access unto the Father. You and I can go to the Father when we need to talk, when we need advice, when we need encouragement, when we need love. You and I, we can go to the Father and his love will be there. His encouragement will be there. His strength will be there. His presence will be there. Through him, through Jesus Christ. We have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, whenever you need to go to the Father, you can go. Whenever you need to come into his presence, you can come. Every one of us have an open invitation to come and enter into God's presence. We have access to the Father. We have access to the Creator. We have access to the maker of heaven and earth. We have access to the one who put the stars in the place. We have access to the one who separated the land and the water. We have access to God because we're tuned to the right frequency. God gave us tools so that we could get to the right channel, the right station. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. When you come into God's presence, it's not a strange thing. It's a normal thing. I'm so glad I'm no longer strange. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. I belong to God's family. I'm a child of God. I have access to he's my daddy, and if I want to go hug my daddy, I can go hug my daddy because I have access to my daddy. I have access to my God. I can go sit on God's lap if I want to. Why? Because I've been given access to him through Jesus Christ. Christ brought us near to God. The only way to get to the Father is through Christ. You can't get in any other way. There's only one access point to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Can't get there by being good enough. Can't get there by having all the money. Can't get there by having the whole world with a fence around it. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what? But we need to value our access that we have to God. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. When you get up tomorrow morning and you have your breakfast, God will be there with you. When you get ready to go to work or wherever it is that you're going to go tomorrow, God will be with you. God is everywhere. He's not limited to space and time. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He can be here. He can be there at the very same time. When you need strength, the strengthener, you have access to him. When you need power, you have access to him. When you need a pick-me-up, he's the glory and the lifter of your head. He'll pick you up. We have access to the Father. Access to God is a spiritual entrance. It's being sensitive to his Spirit and being led by him. For as many as are the sons of God, what? They are led by the Spirit of God. One of the distinctive qualifications that we have as children of God is the ability to be led by the Spirit of God. He can lead God and direct you. He can order your steps. He can tell you where to go, where to be, what to do. What did he tell Ananias? I want you to go here. He mentioned exactly where Paul was. He told him exactly what to do with Paul, and he had everything that he needed. So Ananias went to Paul. He laid his hands on him. He prayed for him. Scale fell from Paul's eyes. God set that all up. He had access. Cornelius, he was missing something, but he didn't know what he was missing. But he needed someone who was full with the Holy Ghost to come and preach the gospel. So God made a divine connection. Cornelius is doing his best to pray. And he says, I want you to go contact Peter, who's at this house, and you contact him. Cornelius sent, you know, at the same time God was speaking to Cornelius, Peter was having a vision at the very same time of the very same thing. And what did God do? God connected Peter with Cornelius, and as a result, Cornelius and all his household got filled with the Holy Ghost because they had access to the Father. Our access is a direct connection to the Father. Within you, you have a hotline to heaven. God right now is on speed dial. Jesus! There it is. You've made the connect. Your call has been connected. The minute you say Jesus, your call has been connected. And it will never be dropped. It will never be muffled. Why? Because you have access to the Father. Our access to God is like access we have being citizens of this country. Because we're citizens of this country, we can move about freely. Because we're citizens. Citizenship gives privileges. We're citizens of God. We're citizens of heaven. People, we're of the family of God. And we're not strangers or foreigners. When you come into God's presence, he's not going to say, who are you? Because Jesus, if Jesus is in your heart, he knows exactly who you are. I mean, he knows who you are before Jesus is in your heart, but it's... So, 1 Peter 3:18 says this, Christ the Messiah himself died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God in his human body. In his human body, he was put to death, but he was made alive in the spirit. But the whole reason he did that was so that we could come to God. That's the access point. All right? The third access point is found also in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. It's access to Christ. So we have access to grace, we have access to God, and we have access to Christ. And when you have access to grace, you have access to the Holy Spirit. Okay? If go to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose. Listen, this has been God's purpose from the beginning. It's an eternal purpose. Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Who? You have access with boldness and confidence. In other words, you do not have to come into God's presence with your head hung down. You can come confidently and boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because of what Jesus has done, that gives you the confidence and boldness that you need. You can say, hey, God, what's going on? How are you doing today? You know, just have a conversation with God. All right, let's read. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Okay? So God always has, he always wanted us to have access to him. He always wanted it from the very beginning. It broke God's heart when our fellowship was broken. When our fellowship with God is broken because of sin, it breaks God's heart. God always wants to have fellowship. He always wants us to have access to him. He longs for the time when he gets to spend with you one-on-one. Our devotion time or our prayer time or our worship, he longs for that. He wants it more than we do. Because he's given us this access. Our access is boldness and confidence by faith. Faith gives you a swift kick in the cans. You know, if you live by faith, you got to eliminate can't out of your vocabulary. We don't have to lose heart because we have access to God. He's accessible to us when we need him to be. You can call on him anytime, any place, anywhere. He'll show up. He showed up in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, our God, who is able to deliver us, will. You talk about confidence. Out of how many thousands of people were bowing, there's three boys. Not bowing. Three out of how many thousands? Everybody else is bowing. They're not. Why? They had confidence. They knew that they had access to God. See, when you know that you have access to God, you can face giants, you can face rivers, you can face the Red Sea, you can face any enemy, and you know that you already won just by showing up because you have access to God. Amen. David knew that he was going to kill that giant the minute that giant opened his mouth. He knew that he had access to God. Jehoshaphat knew that no matter how many armies surrounded him, he would come out on top because he had access to God. Peter knew that he had access to God. He said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. I like what Jesus did. He didn't say, come, Peter. He said, come. That was to anybody who was in the boat. Anybody in the boat could have gotten up out of that boat and they could have walked on water, but only one tuned into the frequency. Peter was the only one who actually got up out of the boat. He was walking on the water. Why? He knew he had that. He said, Jesus, if that's all he needed to know, if that was Jesus. And once he knew that it was Jesus, it didn't matter what was there. It didn't matter the circumstances. He could go to Jesus, even if he had to walk on water. He had access to God. See, when you got access to God, you got to walk, you got to act like, you got to be confident. You got to be bold. Not arrogant, bold. There's a difference. Arrogance is confidence in yourself. Boldness is confidence in God. I'm not confident in myself, but I am confident in God. There's a difference. My confidence is in God. And because I know that I have access to him. And when I need it, he is there. Lightning speed. So those are the three access points. Let me just give you one example, then I'm done. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Samuel was dedicated to God by his mother. Samuel had no choice but to obey God. You know that? His mama said, you're going to serve God whether you like it or not. Because before you existed, I prayed to God to give me a son. And if God said that if God gave me a son, I was going to give him right back to God. So when Samuel was born, listen, he started going to church when he was a baby. As soon as he was weaned, he spent the rest of his life in the temple. But Samuel did not know how to tune into God's frequency. So Samuel was doing the best that he knew how to do. All right? And look at verse 18. Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. An ephod is what the priest would wear. So he's a little child, like Josiah. When we pray for people, Josiah comes right up here and he prays for, I mean, he lays his hands, he closes his eyes, he's believing God to do some things. Thank God for childlike faith. So what was Samuel doing? He was ministering to the Lord. He was serving him the best he knew how to do, because he had not figured out yet how to tune into his frequency. And Eli was old. Oh, let's go to chapter 3. So, verse 1, it says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So people didn't really know how to tune into God's frequency. They didn't know how to hear his voice. They didn't really know. All right? It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim. That's a sign that there were some spiritual problems going on. That he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. See, he's just learning how to tune into God's frequency. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. He didn't know it was God that was calling him. He thought it was Eli, because he's just now learning how to tune into God's frequency. But I want you to see how good God is. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. Boy, Samuel was a really obedient fellow, wasn't he? Every instruction that he was given, he would do immediately. We can learn a lot from Samuel. And the Lord called yet again. Let me tell you something. When you're learning how to tune into God's frequency, he'll work with you. It's okay if you miss it. It's okay if you make a mistake. God is gracious. He'll work with you. Why? He wants you to tune into his frequency. He'll help you. Amen. He'll help you get on the right channel. And the Lord called again. Samuel rose, went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Eli answered, I called not. My son, lie down. I mean, Eli didn't even have a clue. He was the priest. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again a third time. You see how good God is? If you miss it the first time, it's not a once and done deal. God will work with you. He wants you to tune into his frequency. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called. I mean, it took three times for the priest to perceive that God is calling this little boy. So Eli said to Samuel, verse 9, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. See, he didn't know how to do that before. But God is helping him to get him to the right frequency. Because you know what? If you want to be a success in life, you've got to hear from God. The thing that's going to make a difference in your life is hearing from God. Listen, and when you hear from God, you'll know it. It'll resonate within you. It'll bring life. It'll bring you into truth. It'll bring peace. It'll bring light. It'll remove darkness. It'll remove scales. It's so important to be able to tune into God's frequency. And called it, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Now when God says your name twice, you better listen. Then Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. He was now able to tune into the frequency. He was now able to recognize that this was God's voice. He got on God's channel. He tuned into God's station so that he could get God's message. He was tuning into his frequency. But God was working with Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. Ooh, God can tingle your ears. All right? But let me tell you something. God's got a master plan for your life. He's got a plan for you tomorrow. He's got a plan for you for this week. He's got a purpose that you were created to do. And he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for us to do twice as much listening as speaking. So I want you to, if you can, stand up. And I want you just to take a moment and tune into God's frequency. How do you do that? Just begin to praise his name. Forget about who's around you. For just a brief moment, we're going to tune into God's frequency. And the Holy Spirit's going to, he's either going to talk to you or he's going to show you some things, but you got to do the tuning into. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in this place tonight. Oh, Lord, we are tuning in to your frequency to hear your voice, to know your way, and to know your will for our lives in the name of Jesus. Now, you got to be a yielded vessel. You got to be ready, willing, and able to do whatever God says to do. Wherever, it doesn't matter. You just make yourself available in this moment. Tune into his frequency. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We lift up your holy name in this place. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for showing us things that we do not know. Oh, teaching us where we need to go. We bless your holy name, Lord. We wait on you, oh God. We wait on you. We listen to your voice. You have a voice and you're speaking to us now. We receive your words. Just do what Samuel